for life. Now through July 12th, tell us by email at zest@ksevradio.com in 70 words or less for your chance to win the Zest for Life prize pack, a year supply of Zest soap and body wash products, a Galveston Victorian condo suite weekend, and a $100 Specs gift card. The winner will be announced in the Max Show, 6 to 9 a.m. Friday the 13th. So enter now at zest@ksevradio.com, and the 13th could be your lucky day.
Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. Your home is your biggest investment, and when it comes time to have work done on it, you need people you can trust. So, if you have a home improvement project that you want done, but you don't know where to turn, then check out checkapro.com. You will find pre-qualified hometown contractors for just about any home improvement project. My friend Jim Clouk started checkapro.com 7 years ago in Katy, and they now serve the entire Houston area. Each contractor goes through a rigorous qualification process and meets face-to-face with Jim. Just visit checkapro.com to check your market and service, and you'll find everything you need to feel confident about hiring a contractor and getting your project done right. While you're there, you can sign up and receive a free $25 gift card to use when you hire a Checkapro contractor. Check them out at checkapro.com.
From Homework Houston, this is Mark McCoy with an update on getting into and paying for college.
It is so competitive now. You know, more students are graduating from high school and actually going to college than have ever done so in the history of the United States.
Brandon Lloyd heads up the College Money Guys, experts in the college admissions process and finding financial aid and scholarships, even for families with good incomes.
Need-based aid is only half the story. There's also what they call Category 3 money or merit-based aid. As an example, one of my clients, $500,000 monthly on oil and gas leases, and you know their daughter is at Washington University in St. Louis on a $30,000 a year scholarship. Merit-based aid.
Continue your homework at thecollegemoneyguys.com. Check their free seminar calendar and register online. And check the Homework Houston page at ksevradio.com for Brandon Lloyd's next appearance. Homework Houston now at a new time, Fridays 11 till 2, here on KSEV.
Dewhurst versus Cruz. The Texas U.S. Senate race is the one the entire country is following. You can follow it online and on the air at KSEV. Listen to the candidates debate. Listen to their KSEV interviews. You'll find them online at ksevradio.com. And listen to other voters. Listen to the Max Show weekday mornings. Listen to Baker Patrick weekday afternoons. Get the information you need to make an informed decision on AM 700 KSEV. From KSEV, the voice of Texas, this is Guns Over Texas. Jeff Sanford and Gary Montgomery are the gun nuts. They believe in America. They fight for your Second Amendment rights. They teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over Texas starts now.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to your two-hour gun show of the airwaves, Guns Over Texas, brought to you by the Voice of Texas, AM 700 KSEV Radio, and Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range, Houston's 2012 Concealed Handgun License Headquarters. Jeff, Gary, Jason, and the lovely Tracy in studio today. So holster your guns and pick up your phones. Give us a call now at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Let's talk all things that go bang. Now, as usual, Gary is also manning Guns Over Texas Radio on Facebook. So if you can't get to a phone, but you can get us on Facebook, feel free to send Gary a message, and we will answer that on the air.
And you can reach us via email, Jeff@GunsOverTexasRadio, or Gary@GunsOverTexasRadio.com. Or even Jason@GunsOverTexasRadio.com.
You know, you're going to have to remind me that I have that email address.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to touch the Twitter thing because I just know that, you know, we discovered last week, you know, mm-hmm. He's a Luddite. We can't go there.
So I was going to say incompetent, but Luddite's a much more polite word.
If I am not very computer savvy, there's no reason to make fun of me for that.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, there is.
If that's the only thing that y'all can get me on.
If you were 60, I'd give you a pass. You know, if you were, bless his soul, Ernest Borgnine, who just passed today, then I'd give you a pass, you know, because he was around before we had computers. We were still doing the whole, you know, abacus thing. But
Jeff doesn't know what an abacus is.
Ancient counting machine.
Ooh,
how about that?
Wow, I'm impressed.
Burn. So, fellas, what's new in your gun world this week?
Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to do anything, you know, really new and exciting. I did shoot my first Steel Challenge match this week with West Houston Shooters.
And how did that work out for you?
I actually took third overall and won my division. I was impressed because I shot like crap.
So there's what, two people in your division?
No, actually, seems like I think we may have had 15 or more in my division.
Well, see, for my shooting this week, I actually paid attention to Jeff when he said he was going to be open on the 4th of July and wanted both of us to come out there and hang out.
No, I told him I was already committed to the match.
And after the match, you could have come by and hung out with us.
Actually, no, I had to go to work.
Well, some of us went out to Shiloh.
You don't work on July 4th.
Dude, I got a call from my boss today because he had some political whatever friend there.
Yeah, but today is not a holiday.
It's Sunday.
Yeah, but it's not July 4th. It's
but
not
it's Sunday,
Independence Day.
And either one, I should be spending with my friends and family, not working for him.
I agree, but you should let him know. It's Independence Day. This is the day that we ring in with gunfire.
Dude, he's a Democrat.
You need not say anymore, my
See?
Friend. You need not say anymore. Jason, anything new with you?
No, just I had a good time out there on Wednesday
His
hanging
boss
out with
is
you.
A Democrat. Just kidding.
No comment. I love my job. I love everyone I work with. I support the administration and everyone around it. No, but we went out and I got to shoot a little bit with you. We didn't shoot much, but I actually got to shoot your brother's Glock 45. His Glock
21 SF.
Yes. Yeah.
Pretty sweet shooting gun.
Yeah.
I hear a butt.
Go
coming.
Ahead.
A
go butt. Ahead.
Well, I was. I
know you. You are
I was gonna
a pretty
apologize.
Vain guy. I've seen you. You know, every time we go, every time you go, you pass by a mirror, you have to stop and look at yourself and adjust your hair.
Yes, and
you
if you check out our Facebook glass. Page, he's sporting a Merce today.
He is. It's a tactical man purse. But I know you really enjoyed the mirror finish on the Glock because you could shoot and admire yourself.
Wait,
at the
it
same
was
time.
Mirror finished?
It was
he
mirror.
He pimped it out?
Uh-huh. It was mirror Ooh. Finished. Now, here's the problem. I got to give props to my boy, Mac, because we gave him a real, real, real beating over this gun at the store. Matty and I did. We kind of ganged up on him. And he was so enthusiastic when I said, so are you carrying one of your FEGs or High Points or one of your other super high-quality guns here? And he goes, no, I got my Glock. And I'm like, oh, well, that's good. You got a Glock. Great. And he goes, and you're really going to love this one because I tricked it out. And as soon as I hear tricked out,
yeah, that's a bad sign.
Leave them stock, and they work. But he tricked his out, and sure enough, he pulled it out, and it was bling, bling, chromed. All it needed was cup holders and 20-inch blade rims on the side of it. It was, yeah, mirror finish. Mm. And somehow out there, people have found out that, you know, the actual finish on Glock, Tenefer finish, is one of the toughest, most durable finishes out there.
Mm. Which they're not using Tenefer anymore.
No, they still are.
They still are. It's just a different, it's a matte coating instead of glossy. They used to spray some kind of lacquer over it to make it a little bit shinier black, but the black you see on there isn't even the Tenefer. The Tenefer is like transparent.
And actually, at the end of the day, that's basically nitro carburizing. If you've ever used air tools, seen that black coating on, that's basically what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a good finish on the Glock. It comes with a great finish. You don't have to do anything to it out of the box, except maybe put night sights on it. But, lo and behold, he had to change it.
He had to fix it.
He had to make it his own. And I understand the need to customize to a certain point, but he put some type of nickel finish on there. I don't know. It wasn't hard chrome, because hard chrome actually works. This was some kind of nickel finish.
Really?
Nickel finish. And I have yet to see a rusted up Glock. But apparently when you strip the Tenefer off of it.
Oh, yes.
And then apply another finish.
Plain old carbon steel, baby. It'll rust all day long.
It just rubbed that nickel finish right off of it and turned it into a big rust bucket. But you could really comb your hair in the spots that weren't rusted through.
So did he have homeboy sights on the side of it, too?
No, it wasn't quite that bad, but it was pretty close.
Curb feelers?
Curb feelers, mud flaps, cup holders, naked lady mud flaps saying back off, Yosemite Sam. No. But yeah, it shot well, but
Well, that's not a result of anything he did.
No, it is possible, though, to take a perfectly serviceable weapon and destroy it.
He did do some work, some personal work to the trigger and such.
The trigger wasn't bad.
Glock just fine out of the box.
And I'll give him props. The Glock trigger was fine.
Some people just can't not mess with things.
And that's fine, as long as...
But then when you wonder why it doesn't work, like, why is the most durable, rust-resistant gun in the world rusted through?
And we've already covered the adventures of a shooter who will remain nameless, who managed to poke a hole in himself and shoot the throne of solitude out from under himself with his Glock 45 that he had to go mess with. So...
Now, I got to go back and address something else. I do not have a MRSE. I do not have a tactical man purse.
Did you post the picture?
Yes, I posted the picture. So,
the picture is up.
There's really nothing tactical about it. I just called it tactical because it's black, and it seems like everything in the gun industry that's black is named tactical.
No man will look at that bag and think it is a bag for a man. Even you said that when you walked out and saw that bag.
I did a preemptive talk to you guys because I thought they're my friends. They'll understand. But it was raining when I left the house, and I'm grabbing my...
And your wife was being very kind.
She was very kind. I grabbed my laptop, and I just had it under my arm. She goes, "It's raining. You can't leave." And I said, "I'm just going to go to the car." And she goes, "But you have to have a bag." I said, "I don't have a bag." And she goes, "Well, let me get you a bag." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, I'm going to run to the bathroom then." I come out, and my laptop and all its cords and everything is stuffed into what can only be described as a purse.
Well, it was very kind of her to give you a bag or a purse that matches your high heels.
Yes.
And my man palms. But she even said, I said, "You know, the guys are going to beat me up merciless if I walk in there with this bag."
Oh, yeah.
And I got the classic thing you'd tell a 5-year-old, which was, "Well, if they're really your friends, they wouldn't make fun of you."
She doesn't know men very well.
No, she does not. And I just knew. I knew. I could have taken it out of the purse and left the purse in the car and walked up. But I said, "No, I'll take my beating like a man."
And we love you for it.
Oh,
and that's disappointing that she said that if we're your real friends, we wouldn't make fun of you. Because, you know, your real friends help your friends help you move. Your real friends help you move a body. I would help you move a body.
And I would, man. You've even got the tree picked out in East Texas, man. You know?
Well, I was at a birthday party before I came here for a friend's kids. I'd like to give the quick shout-out to Doug and Walter and Brian and Steve. And thanks, y'all, for having me out there at the party today. And thank y'all for not making fun of the man purse. Of course, I didn't take it in over there. But they would have beat me up.
You knew better than to do that.
Oh, good God, yes.
Well, I've got to give a big thumbs up to Best Shot Range in Friendswood.
Yes.
They are doing a NRA basic rifle course for kids out there. And predictably, liberals are inflamed about it.
Oh, of course.
You know, kids shouldn't be around guns, and it doesn't help, you know, get rid of the mystery of guns. So
actually, no, it does.
It does.
Because, well, absolutely. And there you go. Using logic and reason, which is an
Jason,
argument
you might be
can.
Able to speak more to this than I have. I just know that when I was starting to train up as an instructor and I started looking into a lot of accidental shootings that even my dad had investigated when he was a police officer,
mm-hmm.
the overwhelming majority of those cases were incidents where the kid had never seen a gun before, or not only were guns a mystery in that home, so were other things like the chemicals underneath the cabinets and that sort of thing. So there wouldn't be just one incident of this kid managing to touch a gun. There'd be previous cases of somebody getting poisoned in the house, somebody, you know,
mm-hmm.
all sorts of things, all sorts of other hazards in the home. So it's not just guns. And at the end of the day, you can't be sure that your neighbor doesn't have a gun, because if someone asks me, "Do you own any guns?" Well, of course not. Okay?
guns in my home. If you had power tools in the house,
sure.
Something that's totally, I won't say benign, but if you had a drill or a jigsaw mm-hmm. or something like that,
right.
And your kids went, "Hey, Daddy, what are you doing out there with the drill?" Wouldn't mm-hmm. you go through the old, "Well, son, this thing spins around very fast. You need to keep your hands and fingers away from it.
Yes.
It can do a lot of damage."
A lawnmower.
I mean, there are certain things that are going to be around the house that mm-hmm. are dangerous.
Right.
And do you hide and lock up the lawnmower and tell the kids, "We don't need to tell them about the lawnmower because that's just a dangerous assault lawnmower with a high-capacity lawnmower magazine."
Especially if it's an electric stock lawnmower that will start itself and, you know, run over your kid.
Oh, yeah. I was cleaning my lawnmower, and it went off. Sorry.
So
I actually want to give props to the Kron for actually printing a story about this.
Well, they printed it, but of course you
But of course
tell
they
the,
well, they slant a little to the left, as in all the way.
A little?
As in all the way. I said that.
Have you seen the editorial they just wrote about you know, basically repealing Castle Doctrine and...
Oh, yeah, because of the yeah, horrific numbers of 50 people who invoked it in the past 5 years?
Exactly.
Good Lord.
All, yeah, I think, was it 50? Or 58 or something?
No, it was like 42 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we'll get into that in a minute, but we should give a shout-out to Best Shot once again. They're doing a great thing doing this NRA-sponsored class with kids, and I believe it's kids as young as 8, if I'm not mistaken.
Which
great thing that they're doing out there. And I'm trying to find a phone number for Best Shot, but I don't see it on their website. So their website is bestshotrange.com. That's bestshotrange.com if you're interested in getting your kid involved in one of the NRA, this is a rifle class. So they're off of FM 2351 out in Friendswood.
And their number is 281-648-7468. Again, 281-648-7468.
So, Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more Guns Over Texas.
KSEV is online and on your smartphone. Download the KSEV app at the Android Marketplace or the iPhone App Store. With one click, you're listening to AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Do you have your concealed handgun license yet? If not, take your CHL class from a professional instructor at the Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range. Not one of these instructors that doesn't know which end of the gun goes bang. Shiloh instructors are professionally trained, knowledgeable, and friendly. Mention KSEV when you register by phone and get the one-time special price of just $99. Call the Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range at 281-444-8930. Come beat the heat with our new cold AC and improved ventilation units. Ladies-only concealed handgun classes are available also. Taught by Houston's best female instructor, Tracy Sanford. Classes for women, by women. The Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range is located at 12703 Shiloh Church Road, just south of 1960, just east of the Willowbrook Mall. Call us at 281-444-8930. You've got a gun. You know how to shoot. Get your CHL now. Register for the next class at 281-444-8930.
Your smartphone is now your radio. All you need is a KSEV app. And with one click, you're listening to KSEV. Anytime, anywhere. No static, no boundaries. Go to the Android Marketplace or the iPhone App Store. Search KSEV. Select the KSEV app. It's free and it only takes a couple of minutes. Listen to KSEV. It's easy with the KSEV app. More details at KSEVradio.com.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to Guns Over Texas. We were just giving our props out to Best Shot Shooting Range in Friendswood for their Best Shot Camp, a summer camp sponsored by the NRA that teaches kids as young as 8 how to handle and fire rifles. And we think it's a great thing that they're doing out there. And, of course, you know, the liberal world has a lot to say about it and thinks that it's a terrible idea. We shouldn't put guns in kids' hands. And I got an email from my brother. He put it very well. Several kids died by taking apart the air conditioners in the home to sniff the Freon.
Mm.
Are they going to ban lower temperatures too?
Of course not.
So,
I've been spending all this good money on liquor. I could have just sniffed Freon.
Well, and then how many kids have been killed or injured by falling TVs?
Yeah. Right. There was a kid who was killed by a tombstone the other day.
Yes.
Taking pictures with his dad or something like that,
right.
And a tombstone fell on him. It's just stuff happens, folks. Now, I tell you what, let's go ahead and head out to the phone lines. We've got Butch in Southwest Houston. Butch, fire away.
Yes, sir. How you guys doing?
Pretty good, sir. How are you?
Hey, look, I got a Smith & Wesson Model 19-3.
Oh, yes.
And, yes, nice gun. I like the trigger action on it. But, look, I have an old holster for, you know, the kind that has the flap?
Oh, yeah.
The Widowmaker, yeah.
Yeah, Anyway, what I'm trying to, I want to get somebody locally that I can take you to and get another one made just like it. Could you give me a number and a name?
Off the top of my head, the two places I would think of are going to be Tucker Gun Leather, but I don't know if they make it.
Does it have to be the same thing? Are you just enamored with the flap holster because it's sentimental, or why would you want the flap holster?
Because it's functional and it covers the gun completely except for the grip and stuff. But that's what I want. But I want to save the old one. But I want to get one made just like it if I could.
No problem. There's a lot of custom gun makers here in town that could do it for you. You might be better off going to somewhere like Golden Gulrich or someone like that that's an actual holster maker. I'm trying to think of who else.
Well, you got Texas Gun Leather here.
Don Hume out of Oklahoma does a lot of the old style flap holsters and Six Gun Leather too. They might be someone to look into.
Right.
Donhume, Don Hume Leather and Tucker Gun Leather here in Houston.
Right.
Okay, you have a number for Tucker?
Tucker, they've actually got a 1-800 number, believe it or not. It's 1-800-308-6628. 308-6628.
6628. All right. Hey, like you guys show, and I appreciate you, and keep up the good work, yeah?
No problem.
Thank you, Butch.
Oh, yeah, and one quick hit. They've got a local number, too. The local number is
713-267-4822. 4822.
Again, that's 713-267-4822.
All right, appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
10-4.
All righty. Have a good one, guys.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, too, Butch. Thank you, sir. Bye. We like to keep business local as much as possible. And, Tucker Gun Leather, I really appreciate those guys out there. I met a bunch of them. J.B. Rice is a manager out there at Tucker. And he is just he's a really good guy.
Great guy. Worked at Comptech at one point in time. Uh-huh. And a longtime shooter, good friend, great guy.
Do not engage J.B. in conversation unless you have at least 30 minutes to kill, though. Great guy. So give Tucker Gun Leather a call, and if you're looking for a leather holster, they make some of the finest leather holsters around.
Yeah, I actually Googled up images on Don Hume. They make one called the Michigan Flap Holster, and they do it's old-style Widowmaker holster. The only issue we have with the flap holster around here, at least I'll say it, is that it covers the grip. You basically can't get a good grip on the gun. There's no speed involved. If you just want to protect the gun, it's a great holster to protect it from you, but it also makes it so slow to get to that it's not real practical at all.
Right.
But, hey, different strokes for different folks. If that's what you like, knock yourself out.
Now, when I did the intros to the show, I mentioned that we had my lovely wife, Tracy, here with us today. It's been a long time since she's joined us.
Yeah, I love the look on her face and all the things she's been saying.
She is itching to get on air. I can just tell.
if there's any ladies out there that have any questions, she is here to take all phone calls. And, gentlemen, if you have any questions about how to take care of getting your wife involved in shooting, give us a call, 281-558-5738, and Tracy can give you a hand with that. Now, Tracy, will you give our listeners, tell them about the Wednesday night ladies-only group lesson that you do?
Okay, I'm doing ladies-only group lessons on Wednesday nights. We're starting them at 6:30. That way, you know, the ladies can get off work and get there in time. It's going to run around 2 hours, and since it's a group lesson, it's a little bit cheaper. We're doing it for $75, and it's the basic handgun lesson. It's from the ground up, and some women, it's a little intimidating to do a one-on-one, so this is a little bit, you know, a group of women that are in the same boat as them.
Mm-hmm. So what can they expect to do in a basic lesson?
Well, of course, we go over safety, parts and function, loading and unloading. Grip, stance, sight picture, trigger control, and that's all classroom. And then we go back and actually do a little bit of shooting. It's all about just the fundamentals, breaking it down into simple movements and taking it slow.
Great. And how many rounds do you think they would fire in one of those?
Less than a box. Because I'm more about the quality of the shot when they're starting off than the quantity of the shots. So we just take it nice and slow and get them comfortable. So like at first, we're loading one round at a time just to get them comfortable with the handling, doing it over and over and over again. And then once I feel like they're kind of, you know, getting into the groove of it, that's when we'll start loading more. So it's on a per-person basis on how quickly we move, how far back the target goes, stuff like that. If I've got Annie Oakley there, then, you know, of course, we're going to advance it a little bit faster. But if I've got someone who's absolutely terrified, then we're going to take it slow.
And I've got to give you some credit here. I had a lesson this week with two ladies, one of which was taking her second lesson for me, and the other one that was taking her second lesson, but she had taken her first one with you. And her name was Debbie. And while both of the women were just awesome and they did fantastic, Debbie did better than my lesson. So you did a better job teaching than I did.
Well, that, and, you know, that has really, a lot to do with the student, it, too.
Wow. Yeah. Do you see how hard it is for him to get that out?
No, he can't turn off his animal magnetism enough around the women. That's what it is. He's just distracting
they just
with
distract
his, Adonis-like good looks.
That's right. It's all about the pheromones and the looks.
Wow. Well, no, I mean, can we say suck up?
they can't see the sarcastic look I'm giving to the microphone.
You know, there's it has
says the guy with the purse.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with the student just as much as it does with the instructor. Because there are some students I've had that just absolutely don't listen. And, you know, you can break it down five different ways, and they're still not going to actually do it. And so, you know, if you've got somebody who wants to learn, you can teach them. But I've had a few students that, you know, I'm like,
yeah, we've seen that.
Like, what am I supposed to do with you?
You're paying me money to sit here
in the water, but I can't make you drink it.
Yeah, you know, I've had people actually fight me. You know, hey, you're aimed at high. You're aimed at his head. No, I'm not. Well, okay, well, push stir or press stir, and let's see what happens. They hit the head. Why did I do that? Well, because you're not aiming. You know, so
I just do this for a living. Why would you listen to me?
You know, there are some people you will get that will, like, you know, they're just combative sometimes. So it just depends on the student. And if you got the right student, the right instructor, it's a good thing.
Kudos to you. You did an excellent job with her, and she was absolutely lights out. And she was also working with a SIG P250, which was even more impressive because it's the long double-action trigger. Yeah.
She liked that gun. She liked it a lot.
It's not a hard trigger if you'll just practice with it.
It's not a hard trigger. It's a long trigger.
It's not an easy trigger for a beginner.
It's consistent. Yeah. That's a huge deal.
It's not heavy. It's just a long one. Yeah.
And she did really, really well.
Why you got to look at me with that insult, man?
I didn't know. I was just looking at you saying he doesn't know anything about
that. Oh, as you point to the other one. Okay.
Yes.
So we've got some callers on the line.
We're such bad.
If you want to get involved, Houston, give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Or Guns Over Texas Radio on Facebook. So let's head out to Southeast Houston. David, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good, sir.
Fantastic, sir.
I just want to get your opinion on some 9mm pocket pistols. I've got a Kel-Tec PF9 just recently purchased, and get your guys' intake on that and what you consider would be a good, you know, nice concealable pocket pistol in a 9mm.
Probably not that particular one. I mean, it was good enough for George Zimmerman, but even then, that didn't work out real well.
Well, no, it worked just fine for that.
For one round, and then it jammed.
Well, this is true. But
it wouldn't be our first choice. I would personally tell him to go with the our new favorite, the Shield, the Smith & Wesson 9mm
Especially
Shield.
Given the price, because they're within, what, $50 of each other right now?
Well, the Shield, it can be had at a reputable dealer for $399.
Yeah.
I have heard of them selling for upwards of $550.
At the scalper price. Yeah. It's just hard to find them right now, so they people can scalp.
Right.
And then, you know, we've got a whole line of small 9mm that have been coming out recently, starting with the Shield. Then you've got the SIG 938, which is in a whole different class because you're looking at an $800, you know, 1911-style gun.
Yeah.
You've got the Beretta Nano, which is very similar in size. It's smaller than
the
Shield.
Also the SIG 290. So, I mean,
the car. We always love the car.
And the car has recently come out with the CW models, which are not quite as nice as their, like, the PM9.
Or the MK9.
CW9, is that one of them?
Yes.
Sir. We still recommend those, though.
The difference in that is it just hasn't been milled as nicely. You know, the externals of the gun.
They don't use a roll mark to put the markings on the side. They'll use a laser etcher, so it's not as pretty an etching. But you know what? It's in your pocket.
And it saves you $200.
Oh, heck yeah. You know, I'd go for the CW model over the regular model any day of the week.
Yeah, and those are had for right around four and a quarter. And then your Nano is about a $425 gun. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I know they're not really too concealable in your pocket, but from what I've heard on the Glock 26, it's supposed to be a really nice pistol, but they're kind of bigger.
The Glock
bigger.
26 works fine, and actually,
it depends on your pants.
I'm
wearing one in my pocket.
You're wearing it. You're wearing it in a pocket holster now?
Yeah, I mean, if you look
at
that holster.
The sock holster.
The holster of me wearing a Merce here on Facebook, you can actually see down by my left hand, you can actually see the outline of the holster in my pocket there. It's not concealable in a pocket with jeans, I would say, or with really lightweight slacks, but with cargo shorts, it fits right in there just fine.
Mm-hmm. It's also quite a bit wider than some of these other.
Yeah, that's one of the things.
Well, I'm surprised they're going from a single stack to a double stack. It's going to be a little wider. If you want concealment, get the single stack.
Right.
And then, you know, if we're going to talk about that, we've got to go ahead and throw the Springfield XDS into the mix.
No, we don't.
That's a, it's a 45, which you've
got
5
plus 1.
We don't
have to throw that into the mix.
It's an XD.
It's right around the same size as what we're talking about here. But it's 3.3-inch barrel as
opposed
to the
water
others
with
that are
good
right
guns.
About 3.1.
But the Beretta Nano is the one you guys think is pretty good. And then that new SIG you said they had.
I like the Nano.
Or, I mean, the Smith & Wesson.
But I don't like the Nano
still
as much as the
my
Shield.
My favorite among every, in terms of price, in terms of trigger, in terms of
Shield and car are tied for me.
Yeah.
The Shield is, to me, it is the smallest of the guns built like a big gun, built like a full-size gun. Mm-hmm. You know, when you pick up some of these other guns, you know, like even the Ruger LC9, which is it's for all intents and purposes, is a good functional gun. But you pick it up, and it doesn't feel like it's a gun that you can go put 1,000 rounds through it at the range, which I get the same feeling with the Kel-Tecs and those sorts of guns.
Yeah. Well, and then one gun that's, you know, we glanced over, the 290 is a well-built gun from SIG. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of overbuilt for a pocket, though.
Exactly. It's overbuilt. It almost feels top-heavy. Mm-hmm. And a really short grip. Just the overall feel of the gun is just kind
of
weird.
Yeah, you'll get 50,000 rounds of life out of it easy. It's not going to break.
What kind of price do they have on Smith & Wesson Shield?
Like I said, it's reputable dealers should be selling it right at about $400, but because of the demand for it, we've seen it go for as high as $550.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the information from you guys.
Yes, sir.
No
problem,
you got it, David. Thank you for calling Guns Over Texas. We
have
appreciate
a good day.
You listening.
Yes, sir. You too.
The other thing we forgot to mention there is, if you're going with a Kel-Tec or something like that, also those sights are milled into the top of the weapon.
Right.
So the
There's
ability
no
to upgrade or to adjust or to go to a night sight in the future isn't there. Whereas with the Shield and the car, you buy it off the stock, you know, stock style with stock sights. You can always upgrade later to night sights, and you can't do that with some of the lower end guns.
Right.
That's right. And the difference in the trigger pull is just night and day.
I'm just not a Kel-Tec person.
Period. And I think that'll be unanimous in the room.
Yeah. You know, there is one thing I am looking forward to from Kel-Tec, the new bullpup shotgun. I look at it, though, and I know it's going to be
cheap.
That
thing's been vaporware for a while.
I know it's going to be a piece of junk when I finally get my hands on it. I'm going to be disappointed. But looking at the pictures of it, I'm digging on the photos of it. I'm digging on the concept of it. But I know once I get my hands on it, I'm going to go, oh, what a piece of poo, man.
Hey, you know what? I really enjoy their Kel-Tec Sub 2000. That's a fun
It's a fun gun. It's not a
Takes
defense gun, but it's a fun
of,
gun.
Of
Actually, you know what? If you just had to have something as a quote-unquote long gun in your truck that was disposable.
For $250 bucks, yeah.
I wouldn't knock it for that.
Yeah. That's right. So. And it works.
Mm-hmm. The one I played with worked. It took Beretta magazines, and it ate ammo all day long. We didn't have any issues with it. Now, it wasn't the most ergonomic of things, and it wasn't the most pleasant to shoot being direct blowback, but it worked.
I was going to say, if you just need to get lead down range, it'll work.
It did work, and that's the one Kel-Tec I can say that about that I've seen that actually worked.
All right, let's head out to Magnolia. Daryl, welcome to Guns Over Texas, sir.
Oh, what's up, three gun nuts? How y'all doing?
Doing good.
Daryl, this says Magnolia. What are you doing in Magnolia?
Oh, well, it's the same neighborhood. Some people call it one, some people call it the other. I'm not exactly sure.
Ah, okay.
But sometimes, depending on who I've been hanging with, I'll call it. One for Gary, and then I guess you other two guys could help. Stump the gun nut, I think you guys call it.
Okay.
What was that?
Oh, nothing. Go for it, man. Stump us.
Being a little sarcastic, I missed it. little game called Civil War or Not, dealing with guns.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I have 7 categories. Okay, breech loading, and basically Civil War or Not, which were available, which were not. Breech loading, mm-hmm. and these are all rifles. Muzzle loading.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know muzzle loading.
Repeating rifle, mm-hmm. bolt action. Mm-hmm. Lever action, mm-hmm. carbine, musket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you definitely have muskets and muzzle loaders at the time.
Occasional breech loader because they had the Sharps carbine.
Right.
That had a little roller block.
Yeah, but there were no lever actions that early in time.
I don't think there was. Well, no, the Henry repeating rifle came along at the very end.
At the very end. Of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there
like
was an early, very early model Henry repeating rifle.
Yeah.
There wasn't any bolt actions.
The Spencer
rifle.
Spencer carbine.
Yeah.
That was lever action. It fed out of the tube in the stock.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. But there was no bolt action.
Yeah.
I don't
but
think.
But see, I'm a modern gun guy. So
I know. See, you're playing stump the gun guts with stuff that happened 150 years ago, and I got to tap out because I really don't know that much Civil War stuff.
Well,
1860 to 1865, I can give you that.
And I'm an 1899 and later guy. I'll admit to that.
I basically start around 1891 myself and forward somewhat. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you finished?
I guess so.
I guess.
I was finished before we even started.
So. Yeah, I know what you required.
I don't think I ever passed a history class, so.
And you needed how many times to get through the math class?
Well, I'll say it one more time, and I'll give you the answers. Okay. Breech loading, muzzle loading, repeating rifle, bolt action, lever action, carbine, and musket. Mm-hmm. And the one you guys missed that I can see would be the carbine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a carbine is just a short version of a rifle, so I would say any of those rifles could turned into a carbine.
Exactly.
Yeah, by chopping it down. So. Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, some people associated with auto-loading or either fully automatic, you know, with the gas tube, et cetera.
No, not at all, because, I mean, there was the 1894 carbine that, you know.
Exactly, and I think the Spencer also came in a carbine. Anytime you would have a person, especially back in those days, cavalry mounted.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly naval, too. And I think you guys got the correct answers with bolt action, and I believe that was the only one that wasn't available.
Yep.
If you could see Jason now, he's patting himself on his back with both hands. Both hands.
Yeah, and he also got the repeating rifle before that. He said the Henry, and the Henry was also, I think, toward the end of it. Hey, and you said Ernest Borgnine is as of late, as they say, but I thought...
No, he passed, like, today.
Yeah, just a couple hours ago.
Oh, okay, well, what about old James Earl Jones?
No, he's still kicking, as far as I know.
I think I heard just a few minutes on another station before you guys. I was kind of busy, but I think I heard him pass away, and I heard an interview with him last night.
No, say it ain't so. We still got him listed as alive everywhere I can see.
The force is still with him.
I think they gave his epitaph at 95.
Yeah, and no, that was definitely Ernest Borgnine, because James Earl Jones is just a little bit younger than that.
Yep.
He has done almost all the voiceovers already for any future Star Wars stuff.
They gave him a list of like 800 words to read.
Yeah,
they can mix and match.
They really have.
Yeah, classic Wars. Okay, well, thank you guys.
Daryl, I tell you what, Daryl, you're a man of many opinions. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about kids and taking gun safety classes as young as 8 years old?
Actually, I meant to comment on that. I'm glad you brought that up. I'll put it to you this way, if you allow me a little time. I like to talk about guns in school.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading an article talking about guns in school, and this guy would probably be about 95 if he's still living. Jeff Cooper's vintage, et cetera. Matter of fact, it may have been
Colonel Jeff Cooper.
And they talked about guns in schools, and so this was probably about a one-room schoolhouse, and I imagine during the Depression or just hardscrabble farmers. And it was Junior's job to get a rabbit or kill ground squirrels get something for pot.
A whole lot of folks grew up that way, dude.
Or try to see how many ground squirrels or varmints you could shoot with a box of .22 shark. And he said that they would take said shotgun, said .22 rifle, set her in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And when school was out, they would, you know, get on their afternoon job, you know, support the family or bringing something home, you know, for food or trying to get 55 ground squirrels or 50.
Yeah,
50
almost everybody over the age of 50 grew up that way, dude.
And, you know, back then you didn't really hear, it could have happened, but I don't know if you heard of any kind of school massacres and this and that and the other, and people kill people. You know, when I was coming up, I'm probably about Gary's age, I could be wrong, but people were into knives and edge weapons and sometimes maybe even boards or such and this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point in time, there were hair accoutrements, cake cutters that were used as a weapon, you know, at a pinch. And so guns and getting kids motivated or acclimated to a gun, I don't think it's anything wrong with it as long as you impress upon that kid, it just don't go off. I'm not going to accept this as an excuse. And then if I'm not around, how did it go off with you and it around? So you're going to have to pay that price.
Right.
I kind of broke my son in when he was a kid. You know,
how old was he when you got him shooting?
Well, not that, but I started him early on safety, and I told him that all the I took him to the stove, and I let him see what hot was. You know, it was on a little bit, and he saw the heat. And then I touched it and, you know, overreacted. Oh, you know, act like I burnt myself and kind of sucked my finger. Then I took him to the light sockets and told him that they were hot also. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of took him and guided him around right. 1 or 2 feet around the light socket mm-hmm. to make him, you know, stay away from it. Right. And so, you know, people would do that and take responsibility and impress upon the kid responsibility. You would have all these. Oh, it went off.
Right.
Yeah, I just hooked some jumper cables up to the back of one of my guns and said, here, son, play with this. gave a little 12-volt reinforcement there of how not to touch things.
I never could understand how the little kids would tie a towel or a sheet around his neck and jump off the two-story a balcony or whatever, or off the staircase, et cetera, and think that he could fly like Superman.
It's natural like, selection, man. It just weeds out the weeds some of them out.
Well, you know what? He wouldn't pass on the dumb gene, like you guys say. It would skip a generation, or yeah, that would be that.
So, Daryl, okay, how old was your son when you took him shooting for the first time?
His mom was kind of against it. I'm not really sure, but when he was around maybe 8 or so, he got kind of, you know, impromptu at least.
That sounds, you know? I think that's right about the perfect age, in my opinion. I think that's a really good time.
Well,
for
I was probably about that age when my dad took me out to, you know, dirt road somewhere in the middle of Alabama and said, hey, you want to learn how to shoot? And not like any kid.
Got knocked on your butt.
I remember you telling about that. I think my first thing was a .22 rifle and a .22 Colt reproduction pistol. Mm-hmm. Single action, I believe it was, of some sort. At least it looked like the ones in the cowboy films, et cetera. And I've had a love for .22s ever since. I mean, I like all guns, but I still have an affinity for them. I mean, of course, they're cheap to shoot, and mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just kind of nice to see what you can do with them, you know, see where you can put the bullet, you know, where you're looking.
They're a lot of fun, man. And that's the thing about this Best Shot class. They actually had kids shooting aspirin from, like, 15 yards.
Wow.
Just awesome. Wow. It's great. Mm-hmm. You know, you got an 8-year-old shooting aspirin.
Mm-hmm. So. And you know what? Things like that, it helps the kids hone eye-hand coordination and, you know, all the ballistics
and
the
responsibility.
Right.
Daryl?
Also, it shows the effect of a bullet.
Daryl, we're losing you there, man.
We're losing you, Daryl, but
we appreciate
your call.
And thanks for your contribution. And, Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break. If you're on hold, wait just a minute. We're going to get right back to the phone lines as soon as we come back from our break.
All new, all American, all conservative. The Mac Show, tomorrow morning beginning at 6 a.m. sharp on AM 700 KSEV.
No one has a right to make you a victim. I'm Tracy from Shiloh Shooting Range. Have you ever heard footsteps behind you that made you feel uneasy? Or a stranger scare you while walking to your car? Every week, more and more women from all over Houston are coming to see me, empowering themselves by learning the gift of self-defense. Whether you come in for a one-on-one basic handgun training class or to get your ladies-only concealed handgun license, I'm here to offer you my ladies-only classes. If you're a beginner, book your basic training class. If you know how to shoot, book your CHL class. All designed exclusively for women. Call me at Shiloh Shooting Range. 281-444-8930. 281-444-8930. That's 281-444-8930. Or sign up at shilohshooting.com. Because no one has a right to make you a victim.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to Guns Over Texas. We're here to help you out, talk about all things that go bang. Any questions you may have, feel free to give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. The Gun Nuts are here for you. And the lovely and talented Tracy Sanford is in studio today as well, the ladies-only instructor at Shiloh Shooting Range.
I keep waiting for her to just slap you because she gets all wincy whenever you say she's here.
Don't you worry. She'll hit me plenty as soon as we walk out of the studio. So let's head straight out to the phone lines. Missouri City, Bill, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away, Bill.
Yeah, Tracy, I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
I have two ladies
Congratulations.
We are the same
look. Baby.
Hey, wait a minute. Great minds. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I have two ladies, and they're about 70 years old, and they want to get involved in learning to shoot a gun.
Yes, sir.
And I have been in the military, carried guns, so I know a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. But I sure would like to have somebody other than me, because one of them is my wife. So.
Yep, nope, got to be somebody
you
else.
You are correct, sir.
I don't want to be teaching her. But anyway, you mentioned on radio, which I heard you, about the class.
Yes, sir.
That you have. Where is that at?
It's going to be at Shiloh.
Okay, where is Shiloh? I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with it. I'm in Missouri City. We're a million miles away from
you. Yep. Okay, do you know where the Willowbrook Mall is? No?
Just
249.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, come up 249 to 1960, exit 1960 and head east.
It's about a mile and a quarter east.
Yep.
And then it's on Shiloh Church Road, which is a right-hand turn.
Uh-huh.
You'll see that it's an easy street to miss, but there's a big giant billboard about 300 feet before the street. So once you see our billboard, you'll know that the street's coming up.
Yeah, and the street
right
address
across
is?
12703 Shiloh Church Road, and that's 77066.
All right. And are you on a website that I can look this up?
Yes, shilohshooting.com.
Shilohshooting.com.
Yes, sir. S-H-I-L-O-H shooting.com.
Hang on just a minute. Let me get to the pencil.
Cool.
Pencil. What's that?
That's actually a great invention because, you know, we spent, millions of dollars developing these pressurized pens
that
to
write
right
upside down in space.
What did the Soviets do?
Just used a pencil.
All right, spell Shiloh again.
S-H-I-L-O-H.
There you go.
Okay, shilohshooting.com.
Shilohshooting.com.
And you can give us a call at Shiloh Shooting Range at 281-444-8930.
Hey, he didn't give away the radio station number.
Now, one other question. Is there, we live in Missouri City, so, that's not a far piece up there to you all, but is there, can you recommend anybody down in the Missouri City area?
Unfortunately, there's not a range in Missouri City yet. There's been plans, but I don't know that anybody's pulled that off just yet.
How about Katy?
Yeah.
Katy has tactical
firearms.
There's
tactical firearms off of Mason Road.
Tactical?
Firearms, yes, sir.
All right. Now, it's not that I, do they give classes to ladies and everything, Tracy?
Oh, I have no idea what they're.
Actually, I don't know if they have a dedicated ladies-only class, but you can give them a call at 281-693-4867. Again, 281-693-4867 if you want to check them out and see if they have a ladies-only class. But we know that the best in town is right here in the studio.
Yes.
I understand the best in town. And especially since you shy away from trying to correct her.
Yes.
Okay. Bill, sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Bill. We appreciate you listening to the show and giving us a call and contributing. So there is no substitute for the best, though. Come out to Shiloh Shooting Range. Mm-hmm. All right. Speaking of Katy, let's head out to Katy. Line 3. We got David and Katy. David, welcome to Guns Over Texas.
Evening.
How are you
guys doing tonight?
Fantastic, sir. Fire away.
Well, you know, I grew up out in the middle of nowhere, and our schools put us through our firearms and fires education when we were 11.
Mm-hmm. How old are you now, David?
I am 32.
Wow. Okay. Where were you at?
I grew up in Pennsylvania, the blue state, as blue as can be.
Yeah.
So when you look at the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, you still got to hunt to eat.
Right.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's not a sport in some areas. Mm-hmm. It's still a necessity.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's awesome, man.
But, you know, there have been studies all over the place by everyone from the NRA to OPRA where they have taken unloaded guns and put them in schoolrooms of elementary schools under hidden cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time, parents who teach their kids about guns, their kids go and get the teacher. tells right. the older ones, even clear the gun and take it to the teacher. Mm-hmm. The ones who don't teach their kids, who are guns are evil, guns are bad, guns are horrible. You know, their kids are the ones that are clicking them around the room, beating each other with them. I just saw a video of one sucking on the barrel of, like, a pacifier.
I know I'm not supposed to laugh at that, but I can't help it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's been done time and time again. I mean, there's dozens of these
right.
studies been done, and it's like no one can get it through their head that education is a good thing. It's a tool.
Well, you and I know that.
Is it depends on the subject, because they want to tell everybody about how to use a condom and teach them about, you know, safe sex. But when it comes to guns, oh, no, yeah. abstinence is the key. Really?
Yeah.
So, David, do you have any kids?
No, not yet.
But do you plan on it?
Sooner or later, yeah.
If you were to have kids, what age would you start teaching them to shoot?
Honestly, I would probably start about where my best friend did. His 5-year-old is already handling his guns under supervision.
Yep.
All right. Good deal. I'm good with that.
Yep. He taught him education as soon as he was old enough to, you know, not touch them at first, you know, as soon as he was old enough to crawl over to the gun case,
right.
you know, and look in. Mm-hmm. And then once he hit 5, old enough to understand and actually hold them, he started taking them out.
Yep.
It works for me. David, we appreciate you listening to the show. We appreciate you giving us a call as well. So thanks a lot, David.
Have a good day.
All right, and let's head out to Tomball. We got Steve in Tomball. Steve, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away.
Hey, great. Love the show. I just got a question for Jason in there.
Yep.
I got a question of the Kimber 9mm versus the Sig P 238. What would you suggest for the carry?
For the carry?
Yeah,
I wouldn't actually want to carry either one of those. This is the Steve I'm thinking it is.
You would be right. How
all right, how's
today?
It going, Steve? Well, I knew you were going to call in. I just didn't know I was going to get this particular question.
Wait, are we talking the solo or something? Or
No. This are you talking the Kimber solo, or are you talking a full-size Kimber 1911?
The small Kimber carry that just came out with about a year ago.
Yeah, solo. Unfortunately, yeah. I haven't seen one of those that was actually running. They had a lot of recalls on them so far.
I haven't seen one that was running.
Yeah.
I've seen three of them come through the range that I knew of, and none of the three actually performed flawlessly. Two of them had like 3 or 4 failure to go into batteries. Uh-huh.
And I realize this is.
I want to like it.
It's ugly.
No, I want to like it. I haven't got a problem with the way it looks or its size or anything. I just can't. I've never seen one that's going to run.
No, it's ugly.
In that size, we're going to go back to what we were telling the guy earlier. We're going to tell you to go with a Smith & Wesson Shield and 9mm. We're going to tell you to go with a car. We're going to tell you to go with many other things besides
stuff that
those.
We've actually seen run.
Yeah. And even the P-238, I don't dislike it. I don't like it. It's just I wouldn't want to carry something that's cocked and locked in my pocket. I know other people around here do. I know some of Jeff's relatives do.
No, not anymore.
Oh, she doesn't?
No,
okay.
She's on the 290 now.
Oh, she's on the P-290. Yeah, the Sig P-290. Cocked and locked with a hammer back and a little safety in a pocket. I'm personally not a fan of that type of thing. For a pocket carry, double action only, something with a sealed system, I think is going to be a lot safer and keep a lot more junk out of the workings of it.
Yep. Right. I was wondering because I have a Kimber 45. I've had it for 3 years. No problems at all with it. And I was.
Yeah, well, the full-size guns aren't pocket guns.
Yeah,
it should run just fine.
Right.
Yeah. I was kind of stepping down to a Kimber carry and see if it was going to be as.
No problem. We'll say good things about your Kimber 45. Those run. Gary here's got one.
I've got 100,000 rounds on it, but it's also one of the old Oregon guns.
Uh-huh. Well, I got the 238 as well, and that shoots pretty well. I was just looking for something else as well
There's always Jeff's favorite, the Ruger LCP.
Yeah, I shot those, and I'm not happy with those.
Yeah, if I were going to get a little pocket 380, gun. I actually like the Smith & Wesson Bodyguard. I would rip the laser assembly off the bottom of it, hammer it off, or whatever you got to do, or just ignore the laser altogether. But the gun itself runs in the little Smith & Wesson 380 version. It's just the laser.
Yeah,
I got a real problem with the built-in lasers.
Having seen that right next to an M&P shield.
I'd take the M&P over it.
It's like, why bother?
Or the car in 380 also.
Yeah.
You know, different strokes for different folks. But get out there and see if you can find somebody who's got one to shoot and come out to Shiloh. I'm sure Jeff will let you shoot one.
Yeah, I'll let you run some rounds through my shield. I have no problem with that at all.
And then you can see what you've got to choose from and see how big it is and how well it'll fit in the pocket.
All right, man. I appreciate y'all. Got a great show.
Yep. 10-4,
and Steve, since you're friends with Jason, I will only charge you double. to try my gun.
I've been to your range a number of times. I love your range, actually.
Oh, we appreciate it, Steve.
Yeah, he was the one range. I was telling you before the show that it's like, that's you on the air?
We won't go into details. I've been listening to the show for a long time. Did not know.
Didn't realize it was me. And I've only known him, what, 12, 14 years?
Yeah, you think I'd get better class of friends in that amount of time, but apparently not.
Yep. Apparently not.
You all have a great day. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks
you
for calling, Steve.
All right. We're trying to burn through these phone calls right now because we're coming up on
the big break.
So let's head out to Montgomery and talk to Jeff. Jeff, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing? Real quick, I know we're short on time. That Caltech, I think it was a Caltech, a $250 gun, cheap gun, you said, just good, you know, whatever
sub-2000.
Sub-2000, yes.
Yeah.
It's a little carbine that folds in half that's a blowback-operated polymer in the front with, I believe, a steel tube for the recoil assembly. Mm-hmm. And it's, like I say, it's not a target gun. It's not an assault weapon. It's just a neat little gun that folds up to about 14 or 15 inches long, and it takes just about any pistol magazine from a reputable dealer. You can get it with Glock mags, Beretta mags, or Sig mags. I think Smith & Wesson mags also.
I think there's a Smith mag, too, also.
It just depends on that.
Where would I pick one up at?
The 40s are pretty easy to get hold of, but the 9mm have been just trickling out of the factory.
Actually, if I were going to have it, I'd want it in 40 anyway.
If it's going to be a full-size gun like that, you might as well get the bigger punch.
Yeah.
And
if you can find it with the Glock magazines, you can buy Glock magazines that are 30-round, 40-cal Glock mags. If you get the cheapo Korean ones, you can get them for like $15 a piece.
Yeah, but then you're getting the cheapo Korean Glock
mag. I'm not saying they're good. You're putting it in a Kel-Tec.
As soon as it hits the floor,
you're breaking. You're putting it in a Kel-Tec, not in a good gun. That's why I said it.
As soon as it hits the floor.
Okay. Now, we're at our long break, so we'll cover this when we come back.
We're going to be yelling.
If you want that 40, I can get that for you at Shiloh Shooting Range. It'll take me a day to get it in. If you want the 9mm, talk to my buddies at Spectre Firearms on 249 in Spring Cypress. Last I heard, they had one or two of them there. So,
all right. I appreciate it, guys, very much.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
I'm in Houston. Thank you.
We're going to hit our 6 or 7 minute commercial break, so we'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas.
Where conservatives find their voice. AM 700 KSEV. Tomball, Houston. The voice of Texas.
Your hair can be healthy again, guaranteed. Ovation is safe, effective, and easy to use. For healthier, shinier, more manageable hair, simply log on to ovationhair.com and enter AM700KSEV at checkout for your special introductory savings.
For thicker, stronger, longer hair, log on to ovationhair.com and enter AM700KSEV at checkout for a special introductory discount.
Ovation Cell Therapy is the real deal, guaranteed.
Hey, folks, I'm in my studio here in Nashville talking with my friend Jim Clout. Jim is the founder of a company called CheckaPro.com. Jim, this is an interesting business. I love the model. Tell me, what's CheckaPro all about?
CheckaPro is all about the homeowner being able to find a company they trust, Dave. We've pre-qualified them. We check their references, we check their licenses, and we interview each and every one of them.
Well, as a homeowner, that makes me feel a whole lot more comfortable when I know they've been through your process before I go online and call them. I'm not just calling some guy, and I have no idea what I'm going to get when he gets there. He's been through the CheckaPro challenge, the CheckaPro stringent checking. How long have you guys been doing this?
Since 2005, Dave.
Wow. Here's the deal, folks. If you want to find pre-qualified contractors and service providers to help you out with your needs in your home anywhere in the Houston area, go to CheckaPro.com.
From Homework Houston, this is Mark McCoy with an update on getting into and paying for college.
It is so competitive now. You know, more students are graduating from high school and actually going to college than have ever done so in the history of the United States.
Brandon Lloyd heads up the College Money Guys, experts in the college admissions process and finding financial aid and scholarships, even for families with good incomes.
Need-based aid is only half the story. There's also what they call Category 3 money or merit-based aid. As an example, one of my clients, $500,000 monthly on oil and gas leases, and you know their daughter is at Washington University in St. Louis on a $30,000 a year scholarship. Merit-based aid.
Continue your homework at thecollegemoneyguys.com. Check their free seminar calendar and register online. And check the Homework Houston page at KSEVradio.com for Brandon Lloyd's next appearance. Homework Houston now at a new time, Fridays 11 till 2, here on KSEV.
From KSEV, the voice of Texas, this is Guns Over Texas. Jeff Sanford and Gary Montgomery are the gun nuts. They believe in America. They fight for your Second Amendment rights. They teach safety, advanced shooting skills, and responsible gun ownership. They just love guns. Guns Over Texas starts now.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to hour number two of Guns Over Texas Radio, brought to you by AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas, and Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range, your 2012 concealed handgun license headquarters. If you don't have your CHL yet, you need to get it now. You can sign up online at shilohshooting.com, or you can give us a call at 281-444-8930. And get in the next CHL class. We have classes every Saturday, select Sundays, and one Wednesday and one Friday every month. So there's always a time that you can get in and get that CHL.
Can I defend myself for a second now? When I said Korean brand Glock magazines earlier, it's because they're not going into a Glock. If you own a Glock out there and you own Korean mags, take them out in the backyard right now, bury them in a hole, and never look at them again. Now, if you're going to put them into a Kel-Tec sub-2000 fun weekend plinker, it doesn't matter because you're not betting your life on it. You can run cruddy magazines through that thing.
It does matter because you won't be able to shoot it when the floor plate comes off and all the ammo falls out of the bottom of the mag.
You're talking about putting premium gas into a Pinto, okay? We're not talking high-tech craftsmanship here. It's a Kel-Tec.
But it works.
It does indeed. Works. And I said for fun and plinking, get the cheapo mags.
It's a much better little gun than say, you know, their normal pistol line.
It's better than the
high point carbine or some of those. Yes.
Absolutely. And as a little truck gun or something to keep in your truck in case, you know, you're out and about and it happens to hit the fan.
Yep.
Hey, man.
Yeah. It's a lot less nerve-wracking than having a $700 or $800 AR in the back of your truck.
Yeah.
That's right. And you can
You can also put a $200 shotgun in the back of your truck, and it's still a $200 shotgun.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, not well, a...
You can easily fold that thing up, put it in a tennis racket case.
Yes.
Who wants to steal a tennis racket?
It would fit in my Merce.
Actually, it would. That's the sad part.
No. The thing is that there is no Merce about that thing. That's just a purse. That's just all there is to it, man. There is no man involved in that.
That really is a chick bag, dude.
I know, because a chick put my stuff into it. The woman I am married to who said, here, put your laptop in this so it won't get rained on.
And your friends won't laugh at you.
And your friends will laugh at you. If they're really your friends, they won't make fun
of you.
That is
such a mom answer.
I can't believe she sent you out of the house with that thing.
Might as well have pushed me into the buzzsaw or so.
And once again, folks, if you haven't seen it, go to our Facebook page because we have posted the photo. In his nice pastel colored shirt.
I mean, yeah.
At least I think it's a Coach. I think at least it's a nice purse.
Tracy is
wow. He knew the brand. Wow.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. Wow. She's like, no, that's not.
Okay, it's a Harwood. It's a Harwood Coach.
Well, there's been some gun stories in the news this week. Of course, mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys heard about the ICE agent that was recently shot while he was surveilling a resident
down south. Yep.
Yeah, and the shooter's relatives are defending it as well. It was mistaken ID. Let's paint the picture.
Yeah, picture here.
But let's still. Well, the thing is, let's tell what actually happened, which was
a father and his two sons.
Yes.
They allegedly, out of fear, saw that there was a truck sitting outside.
Random vehicle.
Adjacent to their property.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they figured, oh, well, goodness, our house has been attacked in the past. This must be an intruder.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's out on a public road.
Dad goes, gets the kids, one of them 16, the other one adult, 19.
And there's a friend of the family that was with them. There was four total.
Yeah. And so they... Since they hadn't been notified of any attempt, at official surveillance.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jason, you're our law enforcement contributor.
Oh, we go out of our way to call everybody on the street that we're watching and let them know we're doing surveillance on that street.
Yeah,
that, it works out so well for the case.
Yeah.
Let the turd know you're coming.
Warn everybody.
Yeah, no, that's why they have unmarked vehicles.
There you go.
So they don't know they're being watched.
Right.
So the kids explained what they did, saying that they thought it was somebody that was going to break into their house. So father puts his kids in the car, tells them to go get the guns, puts the kids in the car. And,
well, he didn't put them in the car. He told them to go get
the
car.
Yeah. So Pedro Alvarado drove to the vehicle and parked with his headlights off.
Headlights off, rolled up behind him.
And the brothers opened fire and continued shooting as Special Agent Kelton Harrison drove away.
Mm-hmm. And as he drove away, they pursued him, firing through the back of his vehicle as he tried to flee the area while getting holes shot in him.
Yeah, and it's...
That kind of stopped looking like self-defense a while ago.
Yeah.
It would any responsible gun owner just...
You know how much easier it would make everyone's life if you could preemptively shoot at people?
You know what I'm thinking is that these guys are Democrats.
Well, of course they are.
They're probably not very pro-law and order, considering where they were and their thought process.
Again, they're Democrats.
And the family are allegedly citizens, but the...
Illegal aliens that were in their house.
A couple of El Salvadorians in their house weren't.
Mm.
So these upstanding citizens.
Now we're starting to look not so much like it's just a case of mistaken identity as it is we're trying to protect ourselves getting prosecuted for being coyotes.
No, I'm actually thinking they didn't think it was a cop. They thought it was a rip crew. They were coming to rip off our aliens or our dope.
Yeah, and their story is that they've had that happen before.
So, because I wonder honestly think if they thought it was a cop, they wouldn't have just rolled up and started shooting at them. They would have just said, hey, get all the dope flushed down the toilet. There's a cop outside.
Right.
I wonder, you know, they said that this has happened numerous times where pseudo-police robbed them and stuff like that.
Well,
I wonder if any of these cases are documented.
Because
they had dope stolen from them in the past by people posing as cops.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because chances are, I'm going on a limb, I can't prove it, this is only speculation, but... The reason that we're doing surveillance down there is maybe there was a little dope going through the area.
Right.
Maybe there was some illegals going through the area. You know, and if they've been robbed by pseudo cops before, it wasn't because they had lunch money and milk money on them. It's because they had dope or substantial
amounts
of cash.
Well, and if that legitimately happened, then we know that they would have reported it because that's
what are you going to do? Say somebody in a cop uniform broke in and stole all my dope?
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. If you've legitimately had someone break into your home, there's going to be cases that say that
there's
going to
be a paper trail.
Yeah, because we all know that if you're going to go knock over a crook's house, well, that's the house to knock over because he's not going to call the cops.
Yep.
Well, we can safely say that's probably three less Democrat voters that are not going to be eligible to vote.
Well, I don't think the 16-year-old was going to vote anyway, but you never know.
You didn't think dead people and Mickey Mouse were going to vote either.
But you know what? Now he's got a felony ticket, we know he won't grow up to vote.
Yeah. it's really rough. At least the agent's going to make it, but the one kid had a .22 rifle and the other one had a 9mm pistol, and it could have been a lot worse. Fortunately, the vehicle slowed down a lot of the oomph of the rounds, it seems, because the agent was able to drive away and able to, once he kind of rode off road and bailed out of the vehicle, crawled into the brush and was able to call his other people that were on surveillance and guide him into where he was. So.
And according to the Chronicle, it's the 16-year-old that's going to be charged with attempted murder.
I think he was the one that was doing most of the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
He had the .22 rifle, and it's sad to say that that was what was doing most of the damage, but, you know, a 16-year-old with a .22 will kill you just as dead as a crackhead with a .44. Yep.
I'm kind of surprised that the .22 round made it through the car.
Well, after the 9mm softened up the glass.
Well, if the glass is blown out of the back of it, then the only thing that's going to slow it down is, the foam in the car seat?
And
that's
the
not
air.
Going to slow anything down.
Which is not going to work.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about this case, Houston? Give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738.
Well, you know what? We know what the Democrats are going to say, and we know what the Houston Comical is going to say. And they're going to say, see, this is proof that we need to get rid of the Castle Doctrine and stand your ground laws.
Was on a public road.
I'm just telling you, that's what they're going to argue, because the same thing happened with Raul Rodriguez, and they said that this was all stand your ground, and this is why it happened.
Well, those guys are invoking stand your ground, because they're not going to say, I was trying to protect my dope that was coming in.
Of course not.
You know, how can you invoke stand your ground when you go to an adjacent property and just unload on a vehicle that you don't know who's in it.
Well, I'm going to make
it
sure that
may
all
or may not be somebody that's out to get you. Mm-hmm.
The next time I'm out looking for dope, I'm going to make sure I call everybody on the street, the house that I'm sitting on, because I want to make sure they know. You know, or maybe when I roll up into my unmarked car, I'll hit my red and blues for a few minutes beforehand, just so they'll know.
Yeah,
it makes things a lot more convenient
don't do
for
the traffic
crook.
Stuff.
It's a good idea.
Yeah,
just don't randomly pull me over. That's all I ask.
The family members trying to defend these three idiots should go to jail just for stupidity in trying to defend them.
Yep.
We haven't made being stupid illegal yet.
You know, I'm starting to think it might be time.
But I've decided that if we ever do decide to make that a capital offense, that to make it fair, what you need to do is you have a sticker, right? So we can tag you. Okay? So if you get X number of tags throughout the day, then the police is coming, like, collect you.
Speaking of stickers,
Jason's like, oh no,
I would be so busy. There's only so many sets of handcuffs, so many jails. Come on, man.
Well, you know.
Speaking of stickers, when I see Obama Biden bumper stickers, don't you
hope and change, baby?
I just have this thing I have to pull up next to the car because I got to see what an idiot looks like. You know, it just drives me crazy.
And the sad part is you never know because they take all shapes
they
and forms.
They do take all shapes you know? And forms, man.
A lot of them look like college professors.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's always fun.
Unfortunate.
Now that Jeff said this, I'm going to get me some Hope and Change stickers and make sure I plaster them all over his truck up at Charlotte.
I'm told that they'll get you out of some speeding tickets. No, I'm sorry. They will cause speeding tickets.
Yeah.
I forgot. My brother-in-law was complaining about that. He got pulled over in Birmingham. Coming down this steep hill, and he's like, yeah, I know that guy gave me a ticket because my Obama Biden. I'm like, why do you have any kind of political sticker on the back of your truck? Seriously, dude.
It's as bad as the people who have the come rob me, I have guns in my car stickers.
Yes.
Nudge for you.
Oh, man. Mine, people, it's not like I have
a
big
Smith &
Wesson
sticker.
You
still have, like, the Nowesky thing and stuff on the back of your
But his doesn't say, I mean, granted, his is not it's not saying Smith & Wesson or Colt or I have a gun. It is the right. logo for a company. But anybody who's into guns will look at that and go, oh, that's the logo for company XYZ.
Right.
I know exactly what's on the back of your truck. I'm sure somebody else out there does. Mm-hmm. But hopefully people who would purchase the higher-end guns he has the stickers for back there aren't people that are breaking into cars.
One would hope.
One would.
Let's head out to Southwest Houston, fellas, and talk to Marv. Marv, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away.
Morning, gentlemen. Afternoon, rather. Good show. Question, if you were interested in buying a Glock to have with you as a sidearm when you're deer hunting, plowing the lower 40, or just a nice housemate, are you that excited about whether you want to spend the extra 50 bucks on a Generation 4 as opposed to a Generation 3?
Whoa, there shouldn't be any extra 50 bucks. From what I've seen in most of the dealers, they're running the same price.
No, there's an extra magazine involved. It is about
$50
more.
Did I just see a miniature Mac walk by?
Yeah, it is about...
I'm sorry.
It is about $50 more.
Now, depending on what caliber you want, I would personally sell you that if you're going to get a 9mm, you'll do just fine with a Gen 3. If
I was going to do a 40 because...
If you want a 40,
no,
go with a Gen 4.
Because maybe I'll see some wolves when I'm deer hunting, you know?
No problem. Well, the difference is that the Gen 4, originally the whole Glock system is designed around a 9mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they tried to shoehorn a 40 into it. And over the years, they've had three generations of frames, and they call it a product upgrade. But what they're really saying is we had problems with Gen 1, so we had to make a Gen 2. Then we had problems with Gen 2, so we had to make a Gen 3.
Which all manufacturers go through.
All manufacturers go through.
Because even Smith & Wesson has done this.
They just don't call it a recall. They call it a generational shift.
Yes.
But anyway, the Gen 4 has been designed around the 40 caliber cartridge.
Right.
And in the past, what they've done is they made everything pretty much set up to run in 9mm, and the Gen 1 through 3 run in 9mm, no problem. 40 had a little bit of teething issues, nothing major, but it had some little ticks to it. So I would personally say if you're going to get a 40 cal, go with the Gen 4.
Okay, great answer. Appreciate it.
No problem, sir. It's got a little beefier recoil system. It's set up to handle those problems a little better.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Thanks. Thank you, Marv. We appreciate you calling Guns Over Texas. And if you have questions, comments, Houston, give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. 558-5738. Out. Maybe somebody out there listening can help me out.
Uh-huh.
Okay. My wife is just heading downstairs.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Why?
Okay.
Let's tell the story, because when I arrived, there was a duck that apparently had lost its mind and was flying into the window. Right? I mean, it apparently had become suicidal or homicidal or something, but it kept flying into its own reflection in front of the studio. So then you guys rolled up. It takes off. It flies in. So this duck is having issues, schizophrenic something. So then it flies into a column as you guys rolled up and opened the door. Then it takes off, flies out into the street.
And I was accused of running over it on the way into the parking lot, which I did not.
Well, it hit a power line.
Yeah, it clipped the power line, somehow righted itself, and then flew back to the building.
Into the building.
Well, no.
Back to the side of the building.
Back to the side of the building. And so now your mom and your wife, you know, bless their hearts, wanted to save the duck. Now, you and I, of course, said the duck is food. But I'm thinking turducken. But
actually, we have a pig to go with it.
Yes. Well, actually,
we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yes. So then apparently the duck at some point in time got run over, and the duck is no more. Now we're hearing that there are little ducklings outside.
At which my wife is going outside.
And they have a cardboard box and a lid and are going downstairs to retrieve said ducklings.
So how long does it take to raise these guys to the point we can eat them?
Jeff is the owner of not one, not two, but three large dogs.
Four large dogs.
That would love a little fuzzy, feathery chew toy. It squeaks when you bite it, just like a ball.
So if anybody knows what I can do, or who can we call
to save
who
to
wants
come
some ducks?
Get these ducks?
And
please
save the ducklings.
Give us a call, 281-558-5738, because these things cannot go home with me. 281-558-5738. We'll be right back with more Guns Over Texas.
Chris Baker is on KSEV. It's Baker and Patrick, tomorrow afternoon at 4 on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Do you have your concealed handgun license yet? If not, take your CHL class from a professional instructor at the Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range. Not one of these instructors that doesn't know which end of the gun goes bang. Shiloh instructors are professionally trained, knowledgeable, and friendly. Mention KSEV when you register by phone and get the one-time special price of just $99. Call the Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range at 281-444-8930. Come beat the heat with our new cold AC and improved ventilation units. Ladies-only concealed handgun classes are available also. Taught by Houston's best female instructor, Tracy Sanford. Classes for women, by women. The Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range is located at 12703 Shiloh Church Road, just south of 1960, just east of the Willowbrook Mall. Call us at 281-444-8930. You've got a gun. You know how to shoot. Get your CHL now. Register for the next class at 281-444-8930. Hello, Houston, and welcome back to Guns Over Texas, your two-hour gun show of the airwaves, your favorite local live gun talk radio show. That's right. We've got to get this duck problem taken care of, and I've got Marv in Magnolia, who has hopefully got some ideas for me. Marv, please tell me you can help me out, and these ducks aren't going home with me today.
I certainly can. There's a place in Houston called Wildlife Rescue and Education who will accept these ducklings. They will take care of them, make sure they're not sick, and when they're old enough, they will release them into the wild.
Is this the place that's right over off Washington?
Hold on. I'm being told it's called Wildlife Center.
There's
Wildlife Center of Texas.org. There at 707.
If it's the one that's over off Washington, I know where that one is. It should be right by the Budweiser factory.
Right. It's right next door to the Houston Humane Society, SPCA. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And if you want a telephone number, I can give you that as well.
Fire away, sir.
What's the number? 713-861-WILD. D.
9453.
Yep. I can actually say good things about this place because my cat has a penchant for bringing home small furry things through the cat door. And when squirrels and other things have come in and haven't been dispatched by the cat, they're just in pieces but are still squirreling and wiggling. I have had to make the midnight drive to try to find a place to fix said squirrel. So, yeah, they did a very nice job for us.
The people there are absolutely wonderful. They're open 7 days. Mm-hmm. They take good care of the animals that they take in, mm-hmm. and it's a nonprofit organization, mm-hmm. and I can't say enough good things about them.
Well, Marv, maybe you could give them a call and let them know that that we need a little bit of help and that we think very highly of them on the radio, and we'll be more than happy to solicit donations for them if they take these ducks off of my hands.
I think you might have a deal there.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one question I had about that place, when we went in and dropped off the squirrel, they had a beautiful red-tailed hawk that's that sits in the lobby. It sits on a perch, a live red-tailed hawk. Mm-hmm. And they also had a barn owl that looked like it weighed like 18 pounds. Mm. Huge barn owl. But these are rescued animals that they've been raising, and they basically said they've lived in the lobby for 5-6 years, right, and they'll live for 20 years. And my only thought is, these things eat squirrels and rats. I'm bringing you injured squirrel. I'm willing to bet that that red-tailed hawk is going to be eaten well as soon as we leave.
Probably
the whole circle of life thing. You know?
Marv, thanks a lot for giving us a call. I appreciate the contribution, man. And I know that my dad certainly appreciates it as well, because I'm sure that if the ducklings don't go home with me, they're going home with my mom, who's currently out there trying to catch the ducklings with my wife. So,
all right.
Thank
lots
you, Marv.
Luck.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that. All right, let's head out to David and Tomball. I have a feeling that David out in Tomball might give us a duck recipe. David, what do you say, buddy?
Yeah. Well, I've got a little hobby farm up here in Tomball, and I got a place to put them. I've got a little pond there, and they can grow up happy. And so,
all right,
unless you want to take them up there to that place that the gentleman was talking about, I recommend them also. So they're good people.
David, I appreciate that. Yeah, is there any way you could shoot me a phone number or something on my to my email?
You bet, I will.
If you could send it to Jeff at Guns Over Texas Radio, I would greatly appreciate that.
Jeff at Guns Over Texas Radio.
Yes, sir. And all right. Thank you very much for the offer. I appreciate that, sir.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, and one more duck call.
Who says the gun guys aren't sensitive? You got all these folks saving these ducks from being dead.
Because I'm surprised no one's called up with a 12-gauge solution to the problem.
Karen, I have a feeling that Karen does not have a 12-gauge solution to the problem. Karen, what do you say about the ducks?
Well, actually, I do go goose hunting, but that's not my solution.
Okay.
Actually, do y'all know what kind of ducks they are, guys?
The quacking kind, yellow.
You know, I'm presuming the mother was some sort of red duck, so I can't remember.
It was green, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
It was red after it got run over.
No.
Shame on you.
Man.
I'm sorry.
It had red feathers before we even started. It was not a mallard, which would be the one that has the green head. It was not a mallard.
Okay,
that
it was
much
not
I know.
A mallard. Was it a Muscovy?
You know, it might have been.
You're way above our heads on this one.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not in touch with the nature side. We just like to go bang.
Yes.
And pig hunting.
Yes.
The last duck I dealt with was in a bowl of Chinese food.
Okay.
Yeah. No, this was not a Muscovy. I looked those up. That's not what this is. This is...
Okay.
You know...
If y'all cannot find someplace to take these little ducklings,
mm-hmm.
and as long as they're not Muscovies,
mm-hmm.
I will be glad to help y'all out and take them out to my parents' place. They've got a couple of ponds.
Well, Karen, it sounds like you're racist towards Muscovies.
Well, Muscovies are not one of our favorites.
What do they do? What's the matter with them?
They're just really ugly birds.
Yeah, they are.
Well,
you know what? You
should judge it by the content of its character, not the color of its feathers.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, the thing is that they're now Muscovy ducks are native to Texas. That much I know, and we see a ton of them out in Katy. So they're all over. They're all over Cinco Ranch. I can tell you that much. So you know that. So it may be an overpopulation issue to some extent.
Well, Karen, we appreciate the offer, and if you can send me your phone number or contact information to Jeff at GunsOverTexasRadio.com, I would greatly appreciate it.
Okay. I'm driving at the moment, so I may have to call y'all tomorrow.
That's fine.
They cannot go home with me tonight.
They're going to be home. No matter what, they're going home with you, Jeff, because you have to understand the place is probably closed. The wildlife rescue, you might not get to drop them off till tomorrow.
No, my mom might not be able to drop them off until tomorrow.
Somebody takes my number off the air.
Okay.
I can give y'all my number.
All right, the call screener is going to get a hold of you here whenever we get done.
Okay, and I do have another question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You know, at the range and everything. You know, like I said, y'all know, I've told y'all, I have grown up hunting, shotguns, rifles, and, you know, I'm very good. Pistols, I'm very new at it. At a range, at y'all's range, I can fist punch my, my target. Not a problem. Out at my parents' place, we do not... It's not never a straight shot. It's always aiming down and towards a gully area. Mm-hmm. And my groupings are not as accurate as I would like them to be. Now, it would more simulate aiming down a flight of stairs. Mm-hmm. What happens with the ballistics and the...
Well,
a short pistol range is not much. Your lined up sight shouldn't matter at that.
Yeah, it's not going to make a huge difference at the short distances, but I will say that there is a significant psychological impact that changes when you shoot outdoors versus indoors for a lot of
folks. And at different angles. I grew up shooting outdoors, and I've never had a problem shooting outdoors, but pistol shooting outdoors, as long as it's on a straight shot, I'm just fine.
If you're shooting outdoors like at Bighorn Sheep and you're going significantly up or downhill at rifle distance, 200-300 yards, there is a difference. But pistol ranges, 25 yards and in, I don't think that the drop or anything is going to change.
Yeah, it's like, millimeter difference.
Yeah, it's...
One thing that I've seen with shooters, especially if they're shooting down at something, is instead of keeping the sights up in their eyes and bending at the waist, they tend to drop the gun down.
Right.
And so it's not the sights aren't on the same plane as their eyes. And so make sure you keep that gun in your eyes, keep it up, and just bend at the waist.
Okay, that's probably what I'm doing. I'm actually bringing the pistol down instead of bending down at the waist.
Yeah, and what's happening is that now you're changing the angle that with which you would manage your recoil. And so that creates another issue for you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, well, I was not sure, and I didn't want to sound like some hick that didn't know what they were doing because I grew up doing this.
That's all right. We know that you're a hick that knows what she's doing.
Okay.
Oh, that's so much better, Jeff. Yeah.
Karen, thank you. We appreciate you giving us a call. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Off the air, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Putting you on hold right now, and Gary is going to take down your information. Thank you, Karen. All right, and let's head out to James in Cypress. James, welcome to Guns Over Texas.
Well, welcome, sir. You were mentioning these idiots in South Texas. I wanted to mention a recent case up in Dallas.
Yes, sir.
That a drunk walks into a convenience store and starts hitting customers. Mm-hmm. One customer leaves. He starts hitting a second customer. He leaves. The drunk follows him outside, continuing to pelt him. And the man drew a .45 and put two rounds into him.
Actually, I hate to say it, but the guy who drew the .45 sounds like he's justified based on what you're telling us.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the problem? So far, well, I don't hear an issue.
Sounds like a good Friday night.
I mean, he tried to retreat. Texas, he and tried I'm to get sorry, away. If you're trying to hit me with a stick, I'm assuming you're trying to kill me, and our policy is we'll kill you back.
Well, here's the issue, though. He had a gun in a liquor store. Did he have to leave the liquor store, or are they going to make a stink
Actually,
about that?
Not normally, but it is Dallas.
But then again, the liquor store is not a place that's serving alcohol. It's a place that derives 51% of its income from the alcohol, but they're not serving
it. It's not on-premises consumption.
And according to Texas law, as long as it's not serving alcohol, you can see CHL in there.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. However, the thing is that the shooting happened outside the facility.
It happened outside. The man actually went outside to get away from this guy.
Right. That is a
legitimate stand your ground.
Yeah.
That's in his favor, too. I tried to retreat. The guy followed me through my retreat. I figured I didn't have a lot of choice left. I'd say it's a good shoot so far.
If you want to have some fun, go to some of the Democratic websites with the guns, Democratic Underground.
Oh, no.
Or you just go to cron.com and read the comments on the paper. And the cron.com comments are the funniest thing in the world. If you just want to see backbiting and stabbing and the totally polarized viewpoints between conservative and liberal, go read some cron.com comments on any of those articles.
Yep.
Well, I will say this. DU has a lot of pro-gun Dems on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're saying, well, this was a stand your ground, and people are saying, well, he didn't have to shoot him. He could have.
Well, the guy didn't have to be hitting him either.
Yeah. He could have. And some of them call him judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the that's thing what is, they always is, say, is actually, I, you know, I was telling Jeff about this today. I actually spoke with a pro-gun Democrat today. They do exist. They're rare ducks, but they do exist.
He's a duck.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of mean. But, you know, this is a Harris County muni. This is actually a muni court judge, but without dropping names, but that's what he does. So, but the thing was, is I asked him, I said, you know, how do you feel about, you know, this other prominent Democrat, Garnet Coleman, who wants to try to repeal the standard ground laws? And he said, no, there's nothing wrong with the law. It's you know, but these folks are trying to garner votes, and they're making a call that, you know, goes with the national party just to make a name for themselves and put a feather in their cap. But, you know, it does not surprise me that you've got folks who go, well, he didn't have to shoot him. And it's like, really? The guy's trying to cave in my skull with a stick. What am I supposed to do?
Well, you're saying the guy had a stick. If he entered the premises, are we getting that there was a robbery attempting, or he just walked in with a stick and just started swinging?
He entered the premises and started slapping one of the customers. That customer got out.
Barehanded.
And then he started wailing on this other guy.
Okay, barehanded or with a weapon of some type?
And barehanded.
Okay. And well, depending on the size of the offender versus the size of the person
getting
hit.
That may still be a disparity
of
force issue.
Yeah.
This fellow went outside to escape the assault, and the assault followed him.
Then it sounds like he's
that's
justified.
What you get for bringing a fist to a gunfight.
I think they need to check the guy for bath salts.
Yeah.
I want a toxicology on this guy.
I'm going to find you some bath salts, and we're gonna give them to you just so you can experience.
What in the world? Why would I even want to consider anything
because
that's
there,
stupid?
There might
we're not
going
to give you an opportunity to consider. We're just going to tie you up, put you in a
these
box.
These might be a legitimate way of relaxation. Like you go crazy when you smoke them, but if you put them in your bath with some scented candles, maybe some rose petals, maybe they are
so.
The most relaxing thing in the world.
It would go well with his man purse.
That's my man purse.
Yeah, you just watch who's carrying the man purse.
Jeff actually wears shoes with individual toes sewn into them, so I don't think he has much room to make fun. And they're pink. And so I don't think he has much room to make fun of my purse.
Pink, and they are my tactical ninja shoes. I'm quiet.
If they're not pink, what color is that?
Quiet.
What color is it?
They're black.
What's the trim color?
On those? Gray.
I'll leave you with this.
Yes, sir.
I don't have any.
I carry a full-size SIG 220, and no problem concealing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? I was carrying my lightweight Commander 45, built in 1954, but my wife has absconded with it and decided it's her pistol now.
So that's a good woman you have there.
So I ended up with a SIG.
Well, that's not a bad
trade.
Either one you do fine with. They're both little, you know, 7-8 round guns.
I'm a great believer in the 4 theory.
Yes, it should start with a 4 and end with a 5.
Yeah, start with a 4 and go up from there.
Yep.
Well, you can keep your 7 and 8 rounds, sir. I'll take my 18+1 all day.
I carry 8 rounds of 2 7 round mags.
Mm-hmm.
If I run into a situation where I have to have multiple assailants, I run.
Well, see, Jeff is mocking you right now, but in his pocket is a Smith & Wesson Shield. While a fine weapon, it is a 6+1 gun.
Correct.
It's a 7+1, and I have 2 spare magazines.
On you?
Yes.
Yeah.
On your person right now. Not in your man bag.
In
on
my
your
tactical attaché.
In your okay, he has a tactical attaché. I have a purse, but he gets to have a tactical attaché. Because apparently if your purse is made out of black nylon, it somehow makes it less of a purse.
You have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a 58-year-old, about half crippled.
Mm-hmm.
In that occasion,
set
I
in your ways. I understand. I meet you every day, about 30 times a day at the range.
I run. If I meet with multiple assailants, I run. Mm-hmm. The first one to catch up with me dies. I run some more. The second one to catch up with me dies. Then I reload.
Yes.
It's funny how much that persuades the other ones, though, once the first one drops.
Yeah.
To stop him from wanting to catch me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, James, I have no qualms with your 220. I think it's a great, great gun. We're just giving you a little bit of ribbing here.
Yep.
So we appreciate you giving us a call, and thanks for bringing up that case about the guy in Dallas. I'm definitely going to do a little more research on that, because that sounds pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, but I mean, just on the surface, what he's telling us is, the you know, we've had someone who was inside of a store.
Mm-hmm.
They were being accosted. The fact that it happened outside the store now means that the fact that it's a premises that sells alcohol, whether it be for on-premises consumption or not, is no longer an issue.
Yes.
The other thing is that there's a section of the Texas Penal Code, when you get into Chapter 9, when it talks about the justification for the use of force, that basically if force is justified, how you got the gun and where you were with it are immaterial.
That's good. that issue has come up amongst, you know, officers and civilians alike of I'm at deadly force. Well, can I shoot them or can I hit them with this or could I stab them? And we have to tell people over and over again that deadly force is deadly force.
Right.
Once you're at that level, it doesn't matter if you stab them with a stick or shoot them or beat them over the head with a toilet. I mean, deadly force is deadly force no matter how you get there.
I wonder if this guy's relatives are going to come out with, oh, he shouldn't have been shot. He was off his medication.
That. There's always that.
He escaped a halfway
house. Shoot the fist
house.
Out of his hand. Get it? Yeah. Shoot the fist out of his hand? It was supposed to be a joke. Obviously, it wasn't.
Houston, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back with more Guns Over Texas in just a minute. We're going to head straight to the phone lines. Apparently, I have an update from Marv about the Ducks. So we'll be right back.
Mac Makowitz, former Navy SEAL, author, TV host, and now KSEV talk show host. The Mac Show, mornings from 6 till 9 on AM 700 KSEV.
No one has a right to make you a victim. I'm Tracy from Shiloh Shooting Range. Have you ever heard footsteps behind you that made you feel uneasy? Or a stranger scare you while walking to your car? Every week, more and more women from all over Houston are coming to see me, empowering themselves by learning the gift of self-defense. Whether you come in for a one-on-one basic handgun training class or to get your ladies-only concealed handgun license, I'm here to offer you my ladies-only classes. If you're a beginner, book your basic training class. If you know how to shoot, book your CHL class. All designed exclusively for women. Call me at Shiloh Shooting Range. 281-444-8930. 281-444-8930. That's 281-444-8930. Or sign up at shilohshooting.com. Because no one has a right to make you a victim.
Dewhurst versus Cruz. The Texas U.S. Senate race is the one the entire country is following. You can follow it online and on the air at KSEV. Listen to the candidates debate. Listen to their KSEV interviews. You'll find them online at ksevradio.com. And listen to other voters. Listen to the Mac Show weekday mornings. Listen to Baker Patrick weekday afternoons. Get the information you need to make an informed decision on AM 700 KSEV.
Hello, Houston, and welcome back to Guns Over Texas. Just got a call from Marv, who is offered to come get the Ducks, and so we appreciate Marv and his wife.
We're going out on a limb here and assuming the Ducks are caught. Now, it's your wife and your mom.
There's the Ducks.
Oh, my God. The box just walked in.
And I can hear them moving. Three of them.
Three of them. Oh.
Huey, Dewey, Louie.
Let me go get the picture, Gary, for up online.
Are they little?
They're itty.
Itty bitty.
So they are.
That's the technical term.
Ooh.
So that's why we only got three.
All right, well.
Did three of them come back?
We've got three out of six, so apparently.
Some of them didn't make it back.
Not a bad ratio.
Should I start singing Born Free or Kumbaya or something like that?
I'll leave that up to you, man. And,
oh,
wow.
We all have to go peek.
Those are
little tiny. They're probably about the size of an egg, and they're black and yellow, almost camouflage pattern.
Yeah.
They're very, very small and very downy, and they're not moving a whole lot. They're probably terrified being in a cardboard box with someone like Mac. I'm scared of Mac even without the box.
So that's it. We've got three of the Ducks, and apparently they're going home with my mom tonight, so that was very, very nice of her to do that.
And we do have a home for them.
We do have a home for them, so big thanks to Marv and his wife. Mm-hmm. So let's get out to the phone line.
And your wife, Tracy, for going out and helping the
if she would really cared, she would have thrown herself in front of the traffic to save the Ducks.
I was headed that way, but I
That would have been bad.
And she won't pull her microphone over to give her side of the story here.
Let's head out to the phone lines and talk to Glenda in Houston. Glenda, welcome to Guns Over Texas.
Hi there.
Hello.
I have a problem with my CHL
yes, ma'am.
License, which I'm trying to get.
Okay.
I passed the written and the shooting test,
okay.
but I can't pass the fingerprint test.
Fingerprint test? Or you just, you're having trouble getting fingerprints done?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I went to the place, and they tried several times, and I flunked, I think, every one but one.
Well, you know, the thing is that they're supposed to send in a best attempt. So it's not on you. And actually, as we get older, it gets harder and harder to actually take fingerprints because skin, you know, just the way the skin ages. So what should happen is when you make the appointment, if they've made three solid attempts and they're unable to scan them, then they take the best one they got and they're supposed to send that into DPS and say, this was our best attempt.
Okay. So they should have taken three at that time because I think they took two. I don't remember.
However many they take, but the bottom line is that they should have sent in the best that they got.
Okay. Because they told me to come back, but I was thinking, okay, I don't know what to do to make them better.
Mm-hmm. Well, make sure not to wear any hand lotion.
Well, I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, I just, I'm older, but I was thinking back, even when I was quite a bit younger, I needed my fingerprints taken for something. This is before the digital and electronic stuff.
Right.
And they kind of looked at it like, oh, there's not much fingerprint there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, some people just do not have a very distinctive fingerprint. It's just luck of the draw. And so, but like I said, it should be that they should make a best attempt and actually file that with DPS. And, there's no reason for DPS to otherwise deny it.
Okay.
Okay.
If you have to, you may have to find a different place to take the prints. That is possible. But all prints nowadays have to be done through L1 identity systems, and they've got a number of facilities around town.
Yeah, I went to the one that was closest to me.
Yep.
And okay, well, let me...
Glenda, what are you going to carry?
I've got a Springfield XD9.
Good for you. How do you like it?
I love it.
Good for you, Glenda. We appreciate you giving us a call, and thanks for contributing to Guns Over Texas.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Houston, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738 or Guns Over Texas Radio on Facebook. Cool. Now, sometimes there's unintended consequences to artful shooting. Wood County Sheriffs and Artful, yes, sir. Wood County Sheriffs and Texas Rangers responded to a 911 call from a man threatening to kill himself. The deputy showed up to talk some sense into him, but they discovered the man had fled into his huge backyard and was hiding out back there. When they eventually found the man, he obviously did not want to be discovered, so the armed, suicidal man threatened to shoot the police officers. That's when they called.
That's a good way to get
well.
Shot.
Well, they called in their tactical rifle instructor, Constable Edward Shadbolt, to assist in the situation.
make that name up.
He just sounds like a good old boy. When the subject suddenly posed a threat on the constable, Shadbolt decided to disarm the suspect and put a bullet into his hand from 30 yards away, forcing the suspect to drop his gun in the most painful way imaginable. Excellent shooting, sir.
That has happened before.
It does, but it puts an unrealistic expectation Correct. Into the minds of jurors.
The
That's why I don't like
consequence.
That.
Yes.
It's a
in fact,
very bad.
You know, there's a video that's been around circling in law enforcement circles and
gentleman sitting in the white lawn chair.
Yeah, the guy sitting in the white lawn chair. That there was I believe there's an interview with that sniper who said, "I wish I hadn't taken that shot."
Yep.
And the reason is that it created an unrealistic expectation. Oh, you can just shoot the gun out of the guy's hand. And even looking back on it, he's like, any number of things could have gone wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it still would have resulted in a...
He could have removed the guy's hand.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah,
the fact
it still
that he
would
hit
have
the
been
gun.
A fatal injury.
Yeah.
And it just shouldn't have been done.
Deadly force is deadly force. And if you've got the launching a bullet is always going to be deadly force.
Right.
So the old, I was going to disarm him, well...
Yeah, it's
if you're not a deadly force to put the bullet in the middle of his head,
right.
You're not there to put it into his hand either.
Yep.
You know.
And something that I was thinking is, did anybody ask him if he meant to shoot the guy in the hand? because something that we've found
well,
out.
Well, he's a sharpshooter, isn't he?
Something that we've found out in a lot of our classes that we've done force-on-force drills with is that people get shot in the hands
a lot
more than anywhere else on the body.
Yep.
And we know why that is.
Please explain.
Because typically when we've done force-on-force class in a law enforcement setting, a lot of times you're looking at the gun, and people zoom in and focus in on that. The other thing is when I've had people, because I've had this with other instructors where we've gone and done force-on-force with each other, and when they square up and punch that gun out in front of them in an isosceles stance, that gun is in the center of their chest, pointing right at me. So when I draw and immediately start firing back, chances are I'm going to knock them in the knuckles or in the gun. Mm-hmm. Not because I'm trying to, but because when they square up in their proper stance, their gun just happens to be in their center of mass. So that's where I'm going to return fire to. So I've been hit in the hands on a couple of occasions, and I know I've hit other instructors in the hands. So
there you go. Either way we look at it, it's a heck of a shot.
It is, but again, unrealistic expectations are going to make us all look bad because why didn't we shoot it out of their hand?
Right.
Exactly. Let's head out to Spring Branch and talk to Danny. Danny, welcome to Guns Over Texas. Fire away, sir.
Hi, guys. I'm an old bullseye shooter from back in the 60s. Got too old and shaky to hold it still and too blind to see, but I bought a Ransom Rest.
Yes.
To shoot my target pistols through. You know any place I can set that up and shoot my target pistols?
You know, it depends on the range. And off the top of my head, I don't know if you're – deal is set up because now I'm assuming you've got clamps rather than having to bolt it down.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, well, it's a pretty heavy device, and I'm just shooting high standard target 22, so there's not much recoil there.
Yeah. So, you know, now this, you know, Jeff, you'd have to make your own call on your shelves, but I know I've seen this at a number of commercial ranges around town where, you know, a guy brings in a Ransom Rest and does that. Now, most folks have to realize they don't know what this is, but it literally is a device in which you mount the gun and fire the gun.
Like a vise made for a gun.
Yeah, it's a vise made for a gun.
As long as it's not bolted down into the table, that'd be fine.
Yeah. So so for sure you can use it at Shiloh as long as it's not bolted into their
bring a C-clamp or something. You can just clamp it down to the thing.
Exactly. So and I think I've seen them out at American, but I don't know what their current policy is.
Okay, well, I'll come to Shiloh and see if it's a surface big enough to set it on because it's pretty heavy and it's it's about the size of a gun box. All right, well, very good. I'll come give you guys a look and see.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, Danny, thank you for giving us a call. We appreciate it. And come on out, and hopefully we'll be able to help you out. You sound like the kind of guy that we like to shoot with. Mm-hmm. Now, Gary, you were recently in Washington, D.C.
About a year ago now.
Oh, has it been that long?
Almost.
Yeah. Man. September last year. When I came in to fill in for him when he was out of town. It's been about a year.
Did you know that in D.C. you're not even allowed to carry ammunition with you?
Oh, yes. Yes.
I had no idea.
Dude, they nearly arrested me for taking a picture.
Okay. Well, I had no idea.
I did send that guy an email. I was like, where were you when they whipped out the AK-47 in the National Mall?
La, 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 la.
I read an article that just it chapped my hide, man. And there was I guess it's about a year ago, September 19th, 2011, Specialist Adam Meckler. This is a nine-year Army
I was there about that time. Yeah.
Okay. 15-month tours in Iraq and 15 months in Afghanistan. Had to go to his local VFW inside the Veterans Affairs D.C. Regional Office, which is blocks away from the White House. And for the sake of convenience, he's a medic. He placed his paperwork in his first aid backpack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where he went wrong is that he occasionally goes to the shooting range and uses that backpack, and he carries his Beretta M9 and Springfield XDM in that backpack.
Mm-hmm.
So when he walked up to security and put his pack through the conveyor belt, he knew he didn't have his guns with him, but he had no idea how bad things were going to get for him. Apparently, the guard on the monitor got a crazy look on his face, and they immediately caused a big commotion. They cuffed him. They yelled for people in line behind him to back out of the building. As people were coming off the elevator, they were yelling at them to get back on. They shut down the lobby, and they treated him like he was carrying explosives or something. Turns out he had 14 rounds of 9mm ammunition.
Loose?
Yeah. 14 rounds. So when the police showed up, they inquired if Specialist Meckler knew that carrying the ammo in the district was against the law. He confessed he did not know that. And then an officer immediately began to Mirandize the combat veteran. So he couldn't believe it. He asked, am I really going to be arrested for this? And they affirmed he was and took him to jail. 14 rounds of 9mm ammunition,
right.
9-year veteran, two 15-month tours of duty, and arrested.
There's a thing called discretion.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's yeah, ignorance
you
of the law.
You take his ammo
not,
and you throw it in the trash
exactly.
and you say, don't be a dummy anymore. Move
ignorance
on.
Of the law is not an excuse, but if it's an if you can tell this is an honest mistake, this is not somebody who's, you know, you've sniffed his car and found drugs in the car and he's been lying to you the whole time. He says, hey, you know, yeah, I used this bag for that and I'm sorry, there were 14 rounds in there. Yeah. There would you would seem to think that there would be some
you know,
level of discretion where
you Tino
go,
might
maybe not.
You know the boy that's always here with me my son he'll take my bags on occasion and use them for camping and Boy Scouts and stuff like that and my bags are filled with all kinds of you know explosive goodness and guns and ammo and stuff and he's brought back stuff and we've dumped it out to put through the washing machine and there's been loose brass and things that fall out of the bottom of the bag after he gets done and I've often wondered what if he had accidentally. What if, you know, he's, oh, I'm going to use this for a book bag. I'll take this to school. And there's a piece of loose brass in there.
Right.
You know? And would I be able to come in and say, hey, I'm a cop. That's my bag. You know, but would they still be the zero tolerance, no mercy policy against him?
Yes. Sergeant Rips up at DPS, you know, he told us a story the last time we were up there recertified as instructors of his kid. They'd gone goose hunting or something like that. And during just a random sweep, somebody spotted a spent shotgun shell laying in the bed of the kid's pickup. Spent shell.
One. So nothing in it.
Nothing in it. Already been expended. And it's just one of them. They call the cops. They call Sergeant Rips. I mean, you know, he said he got there and he thought they were just, you know, you'd think it was a bomb threat or that, you know, somebody had walked in and shot up half the school. But, you know, the thing is it's the whole concept of zero tolerance. You know, we suspend all common sense or use of discretion or thought and just go, nope, A plus B equals C. We must go, you know, we can't go along a force continuum. We got to go from zero to.
We have
zero
no
to,
discretion yeah. or intelligence because they don't deal right. with guns on a normal basis.
Of course not.
And they're probably, depending on where the cop is stationed, might be used to dealing with those that are a little bit more on the turd persuasion and are just used to everybody automatically lies to me on every shift. I don't care what you say, you're going away.
Well, yeah, there's
which
definitely
is unfortunately
a lot of
the autopilot that sometimes can happen.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys that definitely go on the mindset of everybody lies. If they ain't wearing a badge, they're lying.
Well, because unfortunately it's sometimes true.
Well, it is sometimes true.
Yeah.
It's sometimes true. It's
watch a few episodes of Cops and every word out of everybody's mouth is, I don't know what you're talking about, officer.
Two beers.
I saw one yesterday where they caught somebody that they saw run. He was wearing like a white T-shirt, white shorts, and he ran into a drainage ditch. And the camera actually filmed him run through the ditch and run up on the other side of the ditch. And they found this dude hiding underneath the front porch, pulled him out, and they go, we just chased you through the ditch. No, you didn't. Your shoes are wet. Your socks are wet. He goes, oh, I just washed them.
Yeah.
You just washed them?
No,
yeah, I washed them at home
totally
to clean them
that.
Up because they were kind of muddy. That's I washed them. God.
Well,
that puts 2 hours in the books.
That's another 2 hours down of Guns Over Texas, brought to you by AM700, the voice of Texas, and Shiloh Indoor Shooting Range. If you don't have your concealed handgun license, well, you need to go ahead and get it now and give Shiloh a call at 281-444-8930. That's 281-444-8930. Thanks a lot for listening to Guns Over Texas, Houston. Shoot straight.
Conservatives find their voice.